You tuned in to WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio, serving Central Massachusetts and worldwide at WCUW.org.
Vegan Nation is sponsored in part by St. Croix Beach Massage, advocating social justice for all living creatures. Massage on the beach, at your rental villa, or at the historic Club Comanche Hotel St. Croix, because your tropical vacation should be filled with relaxation. Online at massagestcroix.com.
Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. We are joined by Dr. Neil Barnard, author of The Cheese Trap. Dr. Barnard is also a professor at George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences in Washington, D.C. Thank you, Dr. Barnard, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you today.
This is a great honor. All your work, your noble work throughout all the decades is very helpful to this world, creating healthy bodies and peaceful minds.
Well, there's certainly a lot to be done, and I'm glad to be able to share it with you.
And let's start with your new book, The Cheese Trap.
Well, you know, it's been a funny thing. Years ago, I was doing a research study for the National Institutes of Health on a grant, and we were testing diets for diabetes. The conventional diet says limit carbohydrates and cut calories, that kind of thing. And we were testing against that a vegan diet, a diet with no animal products at all. And it worked terrific. People lost weight, their blood sugars fell, many people reduced their medicines or even got off them. It was fantastic. However, I kept hearing from people that they missed cheese, specifically cheese, not ice cream, but it was, you know, not yogurt, it was cheese. And I thought, what's that about? And so I started looking into it, and I found out three things. First of all, cheese is fattening. Secondly, it seems to be linked to many health issues, and third, it seems also to be a little bit addicting, if I can use that word. So I wrote the Cheese Trap to convey all that information.
I think this is groundbreaking as well.
Well, I'm hoping it is, and the funnest part is there are recipes. I worked with Drina Burton, who is a fantastic recipe developer, and she makes everything from a lasagna to a fettuccine alfredo to even a cheesecake without a drop of dairy in it. So it's a fun adventure toward healthier eating.
And that's what's exciting, is that there's nothing that we need to give up with cheese, because it can all be replaced with the plant products.
And it's really so important. Many people don't realize what they're eating when they're eating cheese, starting with hormones. In order to produce milk, the cows are impregnated every year. And the pregnancy lasts 9 months before they give birth. So they're pregnant three quarters of every year. A pregnant cow creates a lot of estrogen, and that gets into their bloodstream and into the milk. And then when milk is concentrated to produce cheese, the estrogens are concentrated too. And researchers in Rochester, New York, found that cheese intake was associated with infertility in men. In other words, the more cheese the men ate, the lower their sperm counts. And we're also concerned about women and the possibility of breast cancer, as a result of the hormones that are in the cheese they're getting. Now, where we're most concerned is with kids, because if you give kids a cheese pizza or mac and cheese, you're not hoping to give them estrogen to your sons or your daughters, but that's exactly what you're doing. And so that's got us worried.
Yes, yet these schools are feeding cheese every week to all the school children.
And it's not just weight gain that it will lead to. Also, there are a number of health issues, from asthma to rheumatoid arthritis to skin conditions, that seem to be linked to dairy and especially to cheese.
And would you touch upon the topic of the fact that consuming breast milk, which dairy is breast milk, lacteal secretions, and how that's unnatural for adolescents and adults to still be consuming lacteal secretions, and never mind from another species, a bovine, which is massive pounds?
Well, you know, we all think of it as normal because we all grew up with it. And anything that you grew up with, anything that your parents kept in the refrigerator, is going to seem pretty normal. However, Mother Nature has never quite gotten over the fact that human beings, unlike every other species, sort of refuse to be weaned. Breast milk in a human being, breast milk has one function, and that's to help the baby to grow. And because it has a lot of sugar in it. It's got proteins in it. It's got fat in it. It has things in it that the child isn't going to need when the child transitions to solid food. Every child ought to be weaned, and that's true of every species. That's true of calves. Obviously, the cow makes milk for the calf, and the calf is weaned. But because people are really so creative, they figured out how to get milk from cows and how to turn it into cheese, and we all assume this is normal, but it's not a food, it's not a food group, it's as you said, it's a secretion designed to help a calf grow, and that's its only biological purpose, and if we would return it to just that purpose, we would do better.
Of course, from a vegan perspective, it's important that all cheese is eliminated, whether it's coming from a nanny goat or from a bovine cow mother. And can you touch on that about goat milk?
Sure. Some people imagine that goat milk has to be healthier or something like that. What they really mean is it's sort of more romantic sounding. You know, the goat farms are smaller. They're in a nice little rural area that might give you a tour or something like that. But if anything, the goat milk is actually higher in saturated fat. That's the bad fat as a percentage of its fat compared to cow's milk. And for people who care about animals, let me say a word to them, too. When I'm talking to kids, they're not worried about prostate cancer or breast cancer or infertility or these kinds of things that adults are worried about. And they may not even be worried about their weight, but what kids think about is the cows or the animals in general. And a couple of things are striking to them. The first is that cows have to be artificially inseminated by the farmer every year. And when the cow gives birth, the calf is removed and taken away. And the mother cow cries out because her baby has been taken away from her. And people who live near dairy farms hear this all night long, the cows crying out for their babies. And then every year and every year and every year it happens over and over again until the cows are about 4 years old, at which point they are slaughtered for meat and they're replaced with their progeny. And so it's a kind of a creepy thing from an animal welfare standpoint.
Thank you for bringing that education out. And my introduction into veganism is through Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. And that is a philosophy of deep veganism and the holistic perspective, the big picture. And so when we think about cheese, we're not only thinking about the biochemical, physiological reactions that is detrimental to the human body, but we also think of the whole picture of what it takes to put that cheese on our plate. So I'm glad that you mentioned what happens to the mother bovines, the cows, and their male and female offspring.
Well, it's important because I discovered a long time ago there are some people who are health-oriented, there are other people who are animal-oriented, there are some people who are environmentally oriented, and all of those are really important considerations. And I have to say, when I have a patient who's got diabetes and high blood pressure and weight problems and everything else, when they throw the cheese and ideally all the animal products out of their diet, they get better. And some of them along the way start to get more and more motivated when they hear about what happens to the animals or the earth. And that really kind of keeps them on the straight and narrow when they might otherwise kind of deviate from a healthy diet. So I think that's all to the good.
And again, it's very exciting that in 2017 we have so many cheese alternatives that are very delicious, and I'm happy that you include recipes in your book.
Oh, yes. Dorena Burton, who is really a genius in the kitchen, did all the recipes for the cheese trap. And it's everything from fettuccine Alfredo to cheesecake without a drop of actual dairy in it. You get all the taste, none of the regrets.
And do you have a favorite?
You know, everything Dorena ever did is great. And when we've been working together for a long time. And when we worked on the cheese trap recipes, we tested them. And they're just fun. And for people who think, how could you possibly replace cheese? You don't have to be a gourmet cook. Let me give you a couple of simple ideas. You're making a salad. Instead of feta, put some avocado on top. It's got a nice mouthfeel, tastes great, and you don't miss the hormones and bad fat that's in the feta. If you are making a pizza, and all the kids are coming over to have pizza, you give one kid the green olives, and one kid gets the black olives, and one kid gets the sun-dried tomatoes, and another kid gets the nutritional yeast, which has the health food stores sell nutritional yeast, which has a cheesy flavor, but no fat. And so the kids put everything they want to on the pizza, and you have a lot of fun with it, and it's much healthier.
That's great. And more restaurants are now becoming veganized and offering all the vegan cheeses. And so what can we do to help change the kitchens, cafeterias in the schools?
Well, I think it's really important for parents to speak up and to call the schools and say, we really need to have vegan options there. And it might be worth pointing out to the cafeteria manager that this is now a federal policy. The Dietary Guidelines for Americans are the policy that sets the drumbeat for all school lunches. And they specifically talk about the power of vegetarian foods. And when you look at the My Plate diagram that was adopted back in 2011, they will say, although there is a dairy group there, the dairy group also includes non-dairy alternatives like soy milk. So schools ought to be offering these things, especially since a great many kids are now lactose intolerant. As our population gets more and more diverse, we're seeing more and more kids of Asian origin, African origin, Native American origin. They don't digest milk very well in many, many cases. I help those kids out by taking the moo out of their meal.
Yes, and again, I like the name of your book, The Cheese Trap, because of the addiction. And Dr. Barnard, will you please discuss some of the biochemical reactions to this addiction to cheese?
Yeah, really three things. The first is it's salty. People love salty foods. They have no idea how much salt is in cheese, more than in potato chips. The salt is added to keep the bacterial fermentation in check. So it's very salty. It's also very fatty, about 70% fat. And that fatty-salty combination is what people kind of go for. But the third thing is there are opiates in cheese. These are called casomorphins. They attach to the same brain receptors that heroin or morphine attach to, and they have opiate effects. They're not as strong as heroin or morphine, but they're strong enough to keep you hooked. They come out of the dairy protein. They're in milk, but they're concentrated in cheese. And we think the casomorphins are a big issue.
And what is your recommendation to wean ourselves off of cheese?
I encourage people to take it in two steps. The first step is take a week and just think about the things you can have instead and try them out. You're not getting rid of anything, but you're trying out some new choices. So I mentioned avocado instead of feta on your salad. Try nutritional yeast. Go to the store and get some. It's not brewer's yeast. It's nutritional yeast, and you'll find that it has a nice cheesy flavor for sauces and pizza and spaghetti or whatever. And then once you found the things that you like, take 3 weeks and have it be all vegan all the time, no animal products whatsoever. And what you'll discover is that by the end of 3 weeks, you're thinner, your cholesterol's down, you're feeling better, and your tastes are changing too. So give it a shot.
We're listening to Dr. Neil Barnard via Skype in Washington, D.C. Dr. Barnard is the author of The Cheese Trap. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. We'll take a short break, and after the break, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Neil Barnard.
Hi, this is Judy Middleton from Western Australia. This is WCUW, Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts.
Green and growing. That's the theme for this spring's fun drive of WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio. Won't you join with your neighbors and become a member at whatever level you can afford? Call now, 508-753-2284. We thank you. From all here at WCUW, we thank you for your support. WCUW, 91.3 FM, Community Radio in Worcester, Massachusetts. I'm Molly Narrow, host of Vegan Nation, and we are very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Neil Barnard, author of The Cheese Trap. We'll continue our conversation discussing The Cheese Trap. Dr. Barnard is also the founder and president of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine and the Barnard Medical Center in Washington, D.C. He is also a professor of medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences in Washington, D.C. Dr. Barnard, could you please also give us some information about casein within cheese?
Yeah, casein, which is spelled C-A-S-E-I-N, casein, is the main protein in cow's milk. And it's concentrated in cheese. But the thing about casein is that it's something that causes a variety of health issues for people. If people have asthma, kids have asthma, very often they get better when you get the dairy out of their diet. And we believe that what's happening is the body is recognizing the casein as a foreign protein, creating antibodies to it, and that's causing an inflammatory process that causes the lungs to constrict. But it's not just asthma. Rheumatoid arthritis, a variety of skin conditions, and a surprising range of inflammatory problems come from dairy, and in this case, it seems to be the casein or other proteins in the milk, and they're concentrated in the cheese. So if you got a kid with asthma, if you've got joint pain, run. Don't walk to a dairy-free diet and see if you don't get better. So it's a good idea to get away from dairy.
And for those who are really unaware of the alternatives to cheese, could you please discuss some of the plants that are used to make cheese?
There are a number of different brands that are, I have to say, really terrific. There is a brand called Kite Hill Cheese that was pioneered by Paul Ronan and many others. And they started with almond milk. They use exactly the same cheese-making process with cultures and everything, but they start with almond milk instead of cow's milk, and the product is great. There's another one called Tree Line and one called From Miyoko's Kitchen. They use cashews, which have this wonderful creamy mouthfeel when you blend it together and add different cultures and things to it. So there are different people using different techniques. There are also people who have made it meltable. I would say 20 years ago the vegan cheeses weren't so hot, but today they have really arrived. Having said that, you don't really need them. They're just there in case you want that cheesy taste to help you break away from the dairy variety.
And I have to say, I really enjoy the Kite Hill and the Tree Line and Miyoko's Creamery, her cheese as well.
They do a great job. They're really delicious.
And for those in the health field, what tips, advice can you give to the healthcare providers?
It's really important to give patients information about healthier diets because patients come in now with diet-related diseases like never before. And what I mean is patients come in with high cholesterol levels. And although we're very tempted to give them a statin drug, and some people may need that, the truth is they got that way from their eating habits in 9 out of 10 cases. And if you're not addressing foods, you're missing the cause. That's also true for diabetes. It's true for high blood pressure. It's true for many, many conditions. It's true for weight problems. If we are ignoring the foods that people eat, we're ignoring the cause of many issues. That said, doctors are not very well trained in nutrition, and they also are not following healthy diets themselves in the majority of cases. So just like a generation ago, doctors had to learn to quit smoking, and then they had to learn how to talk to patients about it. That's where we are now with food, and you can do it. And at the Physicians Committee, we have good resources for doctors. They can learn about this, and I talk with medical students quite frequently, and they're very excited about helping their patients to change their diet.
That's great news, because it is life-enhancing, health-enhancing for all. And do you have a projected time that you see this dietary change occurring in our healthcare system, in our economic system, where it's transitioning to vegan diets for health enhancement?
Well, I think it's already started, and it's somewhat gradual. And one of my indexes really is the federal government. Back in, I think it was 2010, the U.S. government, or maybe it was right around 2010, the U.S. government started talking specifically about vegetarian and vegan diets and giving guidance for following them, because they were recognizing that in schools and lots of places, many people are following these diets to be healthy. But it wasn't until 2015 that the federal government said a plant-based dietary pattern is actually one of the preferred dietary patterns. And the other ones were Mediterranean, which is sort of a semi-vegetarian pattern, and then the third was Healthy U.S., whatever that means. But the point being that the federal government has been recognizing this for quite some time. Just the other day, I was out in California talking with doctors at a major hospital chain, and the enthusiasm for plant-based diets was huge. And they asked me to give 3 talks in one day about how they could implement this in their own medical practices. So things are changing dramatically. They are changing in the world of athletics, where Tom Brady, who's the Super Bowl quarterback who won the game for the New England Patriots, doesn't touch dairy, and he's very explicit about that. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, despite the fact that he is in the cheese state of Wisconsin, made the same change. Serena Williams, Venus Williams, who are at the top of the tennis world. There are so many athletes who are saying, I'm going either dairy-free, or many of them go further and are totally vegan. because it's healthy, it improves their performance. And once you've got the politicians and the celebrities and the top-level athletes doing it, that means your culture has shifted in a big way.
Thank you, Dr. Barnard. And we're coming to a close in the interview. Is there any additional message that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I would encourage people to have fun with this. This is not a finger-wagging exercise where we blame ourselves for our bad diet mistakes. Instead, recognize we've got new information. I can get away from those unwanted hormones. I can get away from those calories. I can make some changes, but let's have fun with it. Drina's recipes in the cheese trap are fun and cool. Try them out. If you are a fast food person, I've got some tips for you there, what you can pick. And so find the fun foods, the foods that really love you back, and then make some noise. Share it with other people. And if we do that, we're going to change the health of this country.
When we talk about the cheese as an addiction, and then what I see is addictive behavior, not just the physical addiction, but also the addictive behavior towards changing. I also like how you describe that it's from a family and a social perspective as well.
It's true. And food is not the same as cocaine. It's not the same as heroin. However, some of the same themes kind of emerge. So my job now is to not frighten them by saying we're taking away their crutch. Instead, I want to give them a support that they're going to like better. And if we use sort of an addiction model for something a little more benign like food, people can do well. And let me tell you, it is a whole lot easier to break away from unhealthy foods than it is to break away from cigarettes or alcohol or cocaine or any of those things. You can do it. We've all done it. A lot of us have changed our diets in various ways.
How long have you been vegan, Dr. Barnard?
1984.
Wonderful. And it's so true that the alternatives are there. It's just a matter of getting the new habit of the healthy, healthy vegan cheeses.
It sure is. And there's plenty of other great replacements.
We're going to take a musical interlude now with a beautiful song from Evelyn Simpson in Northern Ireland. Her song is Through My Eyes. After that, we'll have a short clip from a recent mockumentary made by Simon Amstel. It was released this spring, 2017, a British film. It is a mockumentary called Carnage, Swallowing the Past.
These ones by my side, they are my family. Might not look much to you, but they're everything to me. Brought into this world with only one purpose. We don't know our fate yet, just that we don't deserve this. No,
coming up is the clip from Carnage, Swallowing the Past, a musical within the British film about a future vegan England.
Guess this is my fate. Now I think of my torture when my life's on a plate. Oh, my one life, just in my prime. Please, this time, see.
They bleed. It's my blood in your milk, and there's pus in your milk, 'cause it's not your milk, it's my baby's milk. What kind of animal rapes just for milk?
Just in my prime. See through my eyes, and all I can hope now is that one day this will end, and no living being will have to go through this again.
That was Evelyn Simpson in Northern Ireland with her song Through My Eyes. The short clip I included on Derry is from the film Carnage, Swallowing the Past, a British film based on a story in the year 2067 when England is a plant-based nation. In this program, we've been joined by Dr. Neil Barnard, author of The Cheese Trap. Thank you very much, Dr. Barnard, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
I want to thank you for including me in this interview, and I really appreciate it. I hope that we can talk again.
That was Dr. Neil Barnard. Dr. Barnard joined us via Skype in Washington, D.C. Dr. Barnard is also the founder and president of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine and Barnard Medical Center in Washington, D.C. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week for the interview with Genesis Butler and Janelle Palacio Butler, vegan activists in California. Janelle and Genesis are joining us on Cesar Chavez Day, a state holiday in California, Colorado, and Texas. Janelle and Genesis are the great-niece and the great-great-niece of Cesar Chavez, who is also a vegan. Join us again next week at the same time to hear more news on living a vegan lifestyle. You can listen to this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Joseph Peck. This is Marlene Arrow wishing you a good day.
Vegan Nation is sponsored in part by St. Croix Beach Massage, advocating social justice for all living creatures. Massage on the beach, at your rental villa, or at the historic Club Comanche Hotel St. Croix, because your tropical vacation should be filled with relaction. Online at massagestcroix.com.
Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.